the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Welcome to this episode of Fuel for the Harvest. This is Charlie.
And this is Nathan. So happy to have you guys joining us today. And today we have a special guest with us. His name is Caleb Bislow, and he is the founder and CEO and president of Unusual Soldiers, and a really great guy. His other name is Crazy Blood. Caleb actually has played a really significant role in Charlie and I's life. He kind of was an ignition point for both of us. So, Caleb, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good to be here with you. And Crazy Blood, huh? I haven't heard that in a while, so thanks, Nathan.
Sure thing, man.
We just need to remind you, man. So,
That's right.
Well, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, Caleb?
Well, my name is Caleb, and I'm out here in the sticks in Nebraska. We started a little ministry here called Unusual Soldiers. So what Nathan didn't tell you is he used all those big, glorious words, but I'm also right now the only staff member. So, yeah, I'm spinning all the plates. We just launched this nonprofit in Nebraska, and the desire of this ministry, it's called Unusual Soldiers, and it's to take the hope of Jesus and to bring help to dark, dangerous, and despised places across the world. So we train a handful of people out here that have that same passion and do our best to kind of ignite them and launch them to go into those places.
Awesome. So, Caleb, we know a little bit of your testimony, but would you mind sharing kind of a little bit of your testimony? Maybe kind of like, how did you get into this kind of crazier side of missions of going to dark, dangerous, and despised places? What got you there?
Well, I think if I go way back, it was in my high school days, I was a quieter natured person, but I came alive on my dirt bike. There was something about adrenaline and the thrill and the love to take risk. I loved snowboard retreats, things like that. And that just seemed to be where my personality type came alive. And as I went to a Christian college out in Indiana, I had a surrender moment to ministry, and I ended up going into youth ministry. But even as I did that, I really enjoyed ministry, but I felt like there was a call on my heart to take a big risk. And so eventually I kind of, I guess you could say, scrapped it all, took a backpack to Africa for a few weeks and lived with a tribe called the Maasai. And that was a moment in my life where I totally came alive. We went to places where they had never heard about Jesus before. And just being out there hiking on the trail, that's where my adventurous spirit came alive. But also just being able to help people spiritually was just thrilling for me. And so that was a big life-changing, defining moment for our ministry. And so that's where I began to kind of take, I guess you could say, this nature inside of me to take risk, and then my love for God, and kind of collided them. And then eventually this ministry of Unusual Soldiers was born.
Awesome. So you must have some fancy seminary degree, right?
Yeah, I got a, what? No, I don't. I got a bachelor's degree, and that is in graphic design, took a youth ministry minor. And then I've just took a lot of, little small training things that you can around the U.S. to help you learn about wilderness, becoming a first responder, things like that. But I don't have a fancy degree like you, Nathan.
Hey, I don't have a fancy degree either. I have your training, so there you go.
Hey, that's pretty fancy right there. So, did they give you like a plaque or anything, Nathan?
Nathan has a plaque.
He, I did.
It's very unique.
It's in my office. Yeah,
that's a cool trophy. You might have to show him that at the end.
I will. But just for the record, the reason I bring that up is because one of my favorite things about Caleb is he's just all in with Jesus. Like, education's important and all that stuff, but man, God can use anybody and everybody, even a guy with a art degree, like to do crazy, crazy kingdom things. So if you're sitting out there and you're thinking, man, I don't have what it takes, Caleb is proof that you plus Jesus is all you need.
Yeah, that's Caleb. I'm curious if you'd share with us, are there any obstacles maybe that you face to this calling, maybe externally or internally in your own heart and mind? What are some of the things that you have been barriers for you that you've had to overcome?
Well, you're going to have to get over your own inadequacy. And in a way, I think inadequacy is a good thing because it forces you to pray more. It forces you to depend on the Holy Spirit. Whereas when you start thinking you got it all figured out, that's what I've noticed is it can be a bit of a danger zone sometimes because you don't rely as much on the Lord. But I've had to get over the inadequacy thing. And I think that's something that I always will struggle with. You know, how do you do this right? And man, when we tried to help those people, did that actually hurt them? And there's some good questions to ask along the way as you go through that. There's big barriers of when you're in some countries that are very desperate or very maybe dangerous. There might be situations where even Christians may lie to you to try to have financial gain. And so you have to be shrewd. You have to be always kind of listening to the Holy Spirit, but also be very discerning with the partners that you have and things like that. And so I've had some things that have just knocked me out. It's been super tough and it's hard to get back up after you've had some situations like that. But the motto I had a couple years ago was stay resilient. And so we're still going for it. We're not going to give in to the those moments where we got kicked down.
What's the secret to overcoming those fears and those worries and those anxieties?
Well, there's a lot of different types of fears. If you're talking about personal fears of going into a place that is highly sketchy or maybe a dangerous place, I think, I don't know, once you go to some of those places, you'll begin to become more confident. Once you begin to realize that, wow, God can actually use me to make things happen, you'll begin to maybe get addicted to it in a way. It just becomes amazing to you that God can actually use your voice or use your ideas or you just partnering with the national there to help launch them and be fuel in their fire. That's really my method now. And that just becomes exciting and you just want more and more of it. And so it seems like the scripture says, love cast out fear. And the more that you begin to have compassion for these people, the more you begin to love these people, the more your fears begin to wash away. And it becomes a joyride in a way.
I really appreciate that perspective because I think on that scripture, often we think love cast out fear. Well, God loves me. Let me just think about God's love. And I think that's true. But to think about, man, how am I actively loving these people that God has put in front of me and how that can override the fear that might hinder me from engaging them, I think is a really unique perspective that is absolutely true. That's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that I think has been kind of a trend lately in as we've been recording podcasts has been this idea of when God calls you, there's a lot of times where you have to take steps out and you don't entirely know where you're stepping, but you just have to trust that Jesus is going to catch you. And that's kind of what I picked up on what you said, Caleb, is just like, hey, like you just a little, you know, 5 seconds of insane courage or whatever that book says. I bought a zoo. 5 seconds of insane courage. And that's all you really need. And then you watch as Jesus just and the Holy Spirit just wreck the situation and come in and do the crazy things that they do. And all of a sudden you're seeing people's lives totally transformed and you're like, whoa, 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 what just happened? And you're like, oh, that was the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exciting. And it's 20 seconds, Nathan, of insane courage.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But it's amazing what the Lord can do when you do take those 20 seconds or 5 seconds of just totally stepping out of your comfort zone. And what I've noticed is when you do that in love, if you're doing it and you see people as a project or something, I don't think that goes well. I think it's about having that compassion when you speak to people. Hopefully there's a bit of a tear in your eye if they're in a desperate situation where you really, really care about them. I'll never forget, we went to a country out in the South Pacific, and there was a tribe that didn't want any missionaries there. And I found out that that tribe had not allowed missionaries because there was some bad stuff done by missionaries in the past. And my heart began to break as I talked to this chief who said that this missionary had done all kinds of corrupt stuff there. Mm-hmm. And I remember I ended up apologizing for what Christians had done there. And I gave him my machete I had. It's like this Bear Grylls knife. And I, you know, the orange handle. Anyway, I handed it to him. And it's just funny how that little moment mm-hmm. of apologizing could open up a huge door to their ministry. And he, you know, he never wanted missionaries. But after that, he said, man, you're allowed to share this love of Jesus with anybody here. He said, I don't want it, but man, I welcome you now. And it just opened the door. And so I think there's a big thing of having courage, but also having compassion mixed together when we do take those steps.
That reminds me of the trip that I took with you, Caleb, to East Africa. And I remember our team went to a red light district at night, and we were able to spend some time with some women, invite them to this chicken restaurant, and just, hey, let's sit across the table from them, share a meal, love them, ask questions about their life, see how we can encourage them. And I remember as we did that, after the meal, we all gathered just in the restaurant. We were the only ones in there besides the owner. And we circled up together and just said, hey, can we pray for you and pray together? And they said, of course. And so we're praying, and I remember these women just having tears in their eyes, and one of them saying, I'm going to trust God to provide for my life and follow him. And then I remember the owner of the restaurant coming up to us afterward and saying, man, I can really feel God moving in this room. And I think you said, yeah, that's Jesus. And what a cool picture of what you're saying, of the courage to go to that place and engage them, but also the compassion to realize, man, they're in a tough situation. How can we love them practically in this moment, just over a meal table?
Yeah, and that was a pretty awesome night, because I had never invited a bunch of prostitutes out to eat before. We didn't know how that was going to go, and they actually came with us, and they didn't want any money, and they just were looking for help. Their hearts were broken, and that guy ended up, we ended up staying there late that night after they shut ours, and they were crying in that circle. That was huge, Charlie. And that man that said that, Charlie, he was a Muslim man when he said that he felt the Lord move there that night. That was a powerful night. So it's a good example of stepping out in that 20 seconds of courage for sure. Mm. Yeah.
The thing I love about it too is another common theme that our listeners would be familiar with is your description of the odd couple, and how this beautiful side, at least to our culture, of humanitarian, like buying someone a meal or helping them out in some physical way, was mixed in a very good way, the odd couple marriage, with kind of the more culturally ugly side of preaching and evangelism. And I just want to reemphasize the importance of that. Like, God calls us to do both. And when we do just humanitarian stuff because it's beautiful to the culture, we end up extending someone's life, but they still end up in hell.
Yeah, it's tough. That's tough. And so that's something I've been really praying about, is that that image of the odd couple. I often call the beautiful woman on one side, her name is humanitarian, and then or activism, and then the ugly man, his name is evangelism. And that's often ugly in our culture. But I've just been praying, how can we give this guy a haircut and a shower so he's not ugly? Is there a way that we can present the hope of Jesus that it doesn't come off super offensive, because the culture is really touchy right now. And, you know, I like to picture it. There's a scripture in Psalms or Proverbs, I can't remember, but it talks about how good news is like bringing cold water to somebody in the desert. And how can we bring good news of Jesus as if it's like cold water, that kind of refreshment to people in the desert? And so I've just been praying, how can we, is there a way to make that odd side, that ugly side, more beautiful? I hope there is. I'm praying about that.
Something that for Nathan and I that we found really helpful, at least where we're at now, is just sharing personal testimony kind of with people. Like, you're relationally connecting with them and then saying, hey, you know, in my life, I really struggled in this way, and here's how Jesus met me. And I think that real life story can really impact people maybe a lot more than four spiritual laws. I'm not against anything like that, but for them to see, oh, this is a real story from your life, something you struggled with, and here's how God showed up, I think can really show them a picture of what Jesus is doing alive and active in the world today. But I'd be curious, Caleb, if you, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that yet, on giving the ugly guy a haircut, Mr. Evangelism. Have you had any ideas as you've been praying or what that's looked like?
No, this is just something I was working on yesterday. Actually, I'm doing a audio curriculum type thing. But yeah, I think what you said, Charlie, is huge, though, is you didn't just say share your testimony. You said admit your own weakness. And right. I think people don't want to just have you pointing your finger at them saying, you got this wrong, fix this. You broke all these laws. You're doomed. But I think what you said, Charlie, was perfect. I think you admitted your own personal struggles and weakness, your own brokenness. And I think people are interested in that. People listen to that. And through that transparency, I think it opens other people up. So, yeah, I think you just began giving the guy a shower right there, Charlie. So hey, I think that's that was well said.
The interesting thing to me about the evangelism side is I think that, yeah, there's definitely ways to give the dude a shower, but I think he might always a little bit at the core be ugly to our culture. I don't know if that's something that we all three agree on necessarily, but it's definitely something that's coming out of my mouth right now. Anyway, just my point being is the gospel of Jesus says, you are in need of a savior because you're broken. So at some level, I think it's always going to be offensive to our culture. No, like even if, and I don't think any of us are advocating like dumbing it down or anything like that. At some level, people are always going to have to recognize their guilt and their brokenness and understand that in order for them to say, hey, I'm in desperate need of a savior. And so, yeah, I think there's definitely better ways, but I think just personally, I always want to be cautious about that cultural desire to like meet people. Like, I just never want to dumb down the difficult sides of the gospel, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I'm not saying you're advocating that.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said, Nathan. I think that it is I mean, it's a different religion than other people. And so, I mean, it's going to spark some waves. I think it was, I can't remember, I think it was Rick Warren who said, the next Billy Graham is probably going to be a guy, though, that speaks with authority, but also humility. And I just think humility is the way it should be presented personally. I think rather than just pure authoritative, I think that weaving humility in there is crucial. And so I think you can't speak hard truth that you believe that you have conviction for, with humility. And I think, that's probably where I would lean in that. So.
Amen. Yeah. I stand behind that 100%.
Yeah. We've learned a lot of this from you, Caleb, but I think we've noticed in scripture and historically how much God uses those who are humble. I think it's in Proverbs, that God humbles those who are exalting themselves, but exalts those who are humbled. And part of that exaltation, I don't know what that looks like fully, but I think part of it can be that's the person God's using to influence others in their lives. And all of a sudden, people are saying, wow, this person influenced me. And obviously, that points back to God. But those who are humble, we start to see God using and impacting others.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. You see it all throughout Scripture. I think almost any person you read about in Scripture, it seems like they either had a humble beginning, or maybe they're a little prideful, then they got humbled, and then they got started. But if you read through the heroes of the faith, it's amazing to see in the book of Hebrews how many of those heroes of the faith started out ordinary or humble individuals, and how God just elevated them and used them in crazy, crazy ways. So,
absolutely. So, Unusual Soldiers, that's a really interesting name for a ministry. Can you,
it's an unusual name.
There you go.
Can you tell us like, why do you like that name? Why did you choose that name?
That name came from a trip I was on. I was considering right after college, I was thinking about moving to Arkansas to help plant a church down there. And while I was scouting out the area, there was a storefront Bible study, and it invited people to come to this Bible study. So I thought, well, let's go see what they're talking about here. And anyways, a really cool Bible study. This guy was an older gentleman, and he went around the room asking people what we were doing there. And I told him about a group of people that were planting a church there. And I told him that some of these guys were moving out of big houses, moving into trailer houses, just because they had the dream of advancing the hope of Christ in that area. And he said, boy, those guys are some unusual soldiers. And when he said that, it was like a branding iron hit my heart. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew when I grow up, that's what I want to be. And so I still feel like a child trying to figure out what I'm going to grow up to be, but that's the dream. And so that became a ministry, I think less than a year later, just a few months later at a church when I became a youth pastor. And anyway, and then the Lord's taken it from there. So it's been about 20 years that word has been around. So,
wow, that's amazing. What is an unusual soldier for those who are listening? How would you define an unusual soldier?
Well, an unusual soldier would be a follower of Christ who would be a humble person that passionately loves Jesus and has a vision for a dark, dangerous, or despised place that they want to, you know, bring hope or help to one of those places. And so that's what they are. So they're called to go to places where most people wouldn't be called to. A lot of times I call it the 13th floor. You know, it's a dark, dangerous, despised place. I don't think is every follower of Christ calling, but I think that there's a rare few that are called to that, to those places, to bring hope, the hope of Christ. And so that's how we would define that.
Okay. Just for the sake of people who are listening, those three D's, the dark, dangerous, and despised, at a general level, what do those mean?
So, good question. Dark, it would be a place oftentimes that are unengaged, people that have never heard of Jesus, whether that's because they're in a restricted place or just a really remote place, so they are just far from the gospel. They're far from knowing about Christ. And so they're not probably your next door neighbor. They're hard to get to places. Mm. And then the dangerous would be places like conflict zones, maybe prisoners, or maybe places where there's infectious disease like we see right now. You know, some people that I would call unusual soldiers right now in our culture are those that are following Jesus and have heard the call to go to the COVID hot zones. You know, I know of some that have lost their lives, doctors and nurses, by volunteering to go to those places. And so that would be a modern day one. And then despised places could be just a highly oppressed area where people are just kind of seen as nobodies. It could be a place of, you know, in our culture, you may see a brothel area, a red light district area. And yeah, you can look at that as despised when you first see it, but then you find out there's a lot of broken people there that aren't even choosing to be there. And so I would say that would be another example of kind of a often despised or marginalized area. So that's some quick examples anyway of what that could look like.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
And I just want to throw this out there. You don't have to, Caleb. So Caleb wrote a book called Dangerous, Engaging the People in Places No One Else Will. So if you're interested in hearing some more stories like the few that were shared on this call, and just hearing, hey, what has God been doing through the ministry of unusual soldiers all over the globe in some of these dark, dangerous, and despised places? Check the book out. Really powerful read, and exciting to see what God can do with a nobody. No offense, Caleb, but
hey, you figured me out. Oh, man, it was my secret.
You know, but I feel like it's almost fun to wear that term nobody as almost like a badge of honor just to prove who God is.
Yeah, that should be one of our goals, I think, to become less of ourselves and Amen. Hopefully have more of Christ moving through us.
Cool. So, Caleb, if people want to connect with you or Unusual Soldiers, what would be the most effective way for them to do that?
Yeah, you can find us at unusualsoldiers.com. We got our training programs listed on there, or you can find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and our ministries are on there as well. So we'd love to connect. If you share this heart and passion to see those dark, dangerous, or despised places touched with the love of Jesus, we'd love to talk with you.
Yeah. And I highly, highly, highly recommend Caleb's training. Both Charlie and I have been deeply impacted by Caleb's training. I would say, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, it was kind of the ignition point that launched both Charlie and I into ministry. So you guys have probably learned this about me over the course of the history of this podcast, but I'm a quiet, timid, awkward, weirdo dude.
Not as quiet as he calls himself, but hey.
I'm more loud around people I'm comfortable with. But I never thought God could use me. And this training equipped me and also encouraged me and inspired me to say, hey, like, maybe God can use us et ceteras, us nobodies, us everyday folk. So if that's something you're passionate about, the first step would be Stranded. Go check out Stranded at unusualsoldiers.com. It is worth your time. And especially if you have this heart for dark, dangerous, and despised peoples, it has a lot of practical equipping along with some fun team building stuff, along with some push you to the edge stuff that will really, really, really show you who you are and show you who God is. So it's good stuff. Highly, highly recommend.
And I want to emphasize something that Nathan said that happened in my life as well. You might be thinking actively, well, I can't do that. Those are those crazy people that God can use. And I think some of us actively think that way, and others, it's more of a subliminal thought in the back of our minds. That's how it was for me. I never really even thought about it. But I'd hear these missionary stories like this throughout my life of people talking about Muslims having dreams and visions and how they went and shared Jesus and they gave their lives to Christ. Or I was in this tribe when they had spears and the whole village came to know Jesus. And I said, wow, these guys are, they're like insane, crazy people. That's cool that God's doing that. And I never once thought I could ever do that. I didn't think, well, I can't do that. But I never thought, I was like, oh, that's for those cool people who can do these kinds of things. And then through some of this training and starting to go overseas and the Spirit of God calling me, realizing for the first time as I'm meeting people and sharing Jesus with them and seeing God move among unreached places, I'm going, wow, God could use me to do this. This is insane. I had never dreamt that this would be something in my life. And so just want to emphasize that might be you. Maybe it's just a small spark or flicker right now of some of these people or places around the world. You never know what kind of wildfire that could turn into if you just say, okay, Lord, what's the next step?
Right. And just one last emphasis. Caleb had mentioned that maybe it's a select few who are called to these places. But I would just say that may be true, but it's definitely more than the people who are going. Just statistically speaking, there is a huge, huge need, something like 2 billion people on planet Earth who have never heard the name of Jesus. Many of those people living in dark, dangerous, and despised peoples. And as it stands right now, we're sending like less than 5% of missionaries to those places. So there is a huge need and not enough people going. So maybe, just maybe, you're one of those quote unquote select few.
Don't discount yourself. Right. You might be one, even if you don't think you're one yet.
Absolutely. So all that said, Caleb, thank you so much for your time. This has been really encouraging for us, and I hope for all of our listeners as well.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, guys. Keep the fire stoked. All right.
Amen. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. God bless.